We're going to continue looking this morning at the book of Proverbs. We'll be in chapter 5 today. So as we look at the book of Proverbs, we understand it is a book of wisdom. What we're going to talk about today, you may not consider or think of when you think about the books of wisdom in the Old Testament. But earlier in his discourse, in his talk to us, Solomon warned of being delivered from an immoral woman. He called her a seductress in chapter 2 and verse 16, says she had flattering words with her. And in verse 17, he says she is one who forsakes her husband and forgets her covenant with God. And in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, he said that whose home and paths lead to death. Now you think about it. This could have a dual meaning. It could, because of the situation and the circumstances that arise out of an adulterous relationship, it could have physical death. But ultimately, if you don't repent of an adulterous relationship, it could lead to eternal death. But Solomon goes on to give similar warnings, repeated in his writing in chapters 5, 6, and 7 about this adulterous woman. Now, when you have this much repetition, you really need to pay attention because it implies the true danger and just how great this danger is. It was a serious problem in the days of Solomon. And I dare say it's a dangerous problem in our day today as well. In chapter 5, we read about the danger of adultery. In verses 1 and 2, he begins here with a warning that we need to pay close attention to. He says, "My son," and this is Solomon saying, this is what his father told him, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge." We have a duty to look at God's word, especially in a subject like this, and keep God's word close to our hearts, so that when this flattering woman, this seductress comes around, and by the way, it could be twisted around to be a flattering man, seducing a young woman. But when we talk about adultery, Solomon talks about the promise of adultery. And it has two promises. The first one is a false promise. He tells us in verse 3 that the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. She's going to tell you everything that you want to hear, fella. It's just like a used car salesman. He's going to tell you everything you want to hear about your car that you're fixing to trade in. Oh, I'll give you this much. And this woman's going to tell you, oh, I love you. And it's going to be such sweet words coming to your ear. Sweeter than honey. And her lips, it's going to flow out of her mouth. The words are going to come out so smooth because she's got her lips oiled and ready to tell you what you want to hear. That's her job, is to seduce you. And for this enticement, she said, Solomon says in chapter 2 and verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, for the seductress who flatters with her words. She's educated herself to tell you the things that you want to hear. Your wives ever tell you things that you want to hear? You go, oh, thank you, sweetie. You husbands don't do that as much to the wives, but she probably does more for you. He says in chapter 6 and verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman. Notice, immoral in verse 16 of chapter 2, evil woman in chapter 6 and verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. And then he says in chapter 7 and verse 21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. The words just flowed from her mouth to his ears. And those words were what he wanted to hear. You know, the case with adultery a lot of times is a man doesn't hear those things at home. And when somebody, maybe on the assembly line or in another cubicle or whatever, starts telling him the things that he really wants to hear, then that's the right, that's the direction he goes. I've had friends that have been caught up in this, and you kind of wonder sometimes, why did you go with that? You knew what kind of danger you were getting into. Why would you do that? And then when you read God's wisdom here, you see that she had a plan. Her plan was to entice. And this is a forbidden fruit. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So we see here that this is something that is desirous. And a lot of times, if a man is not happy at home and he hears these flattering words from this woman, then that leads to the next step of adultery. Adultery promises a lot, but what does it actually deliver? What does it actually deliver? Well, we'll talk about that as we go through. But another promise is the real promise that we see in adultery. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 4, as we continue with the text, he says, "But in the end she is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword." She's really a dangerous person. And the real promise is death followed by condemnation. Verse 5, "Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Eternal destruction is where she's leading you." Is that what you want? It must be if you're willing to tune your ears into her flattering lips, her seducing ways. And so the ways of adultery are unstable. They're unknowable. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 13 and verse 4, "Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge." And so I said at the moment, at the beginning of this lesson, if you don't repent of that sin, then understand you will face Christ in the judgment one day. And God's word will condemn you. And you can spend eternity in hell separated from God. But her ways are unstable and unknowable. Proverbs 5 and verse 6, the New American Standard says, "She does not ponder the path of her life." She's not really thinking about what's down the road. She's thinking about, "I got another one. I've got this fella. I've got him by the ear, and he'll do whatever I say." Surely you've watched TV shows. Surely you've watched all these murder mysteries and all of these women that seduce the men, and it never goes well, does it? And yet so many men, you watch an hour-long show of murder, mystery, adultery, affair, and the next hour they got another one, murder, mystery, adultery, affair. And you wonder, don't they ever learn? But you see, the ways of this woman, this seductress, is unstable. She's not looking down the road. She's looking for the here and now. Her ways are unstable, and she does not know it. So we asked a question a moment ago. Adultery promises a lot. But what does it deliver? Well, it does deliver. But not what it promises. She may promise you, "Oh, I'm going to love you like no other woman." He may tell you, "I'm going to love you like no other man has ever loved you before." But that's not the way that it works out. If you're married and you commit an affair and have an adulterous relationship, you're in the process of destroying what God has established. And you say, "Well, nobody's going to get hurt but us." Well, what about children? Have you ever thought about children that are part of this marriage that you're in the process of destroying? You know, to appreciate what adultery really delivers, the next thing that Solomon tells us is the price of adultery. So what does an adulterous relationship cost you? It costs you your wealth, your money. Solomon pleads with his children to stay away from this immoral woman in verses 7 and 8. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. You know, in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, it talks about the progression of sin. And the psalmist tells us there in verse 1 that when you see sin, you know, you're really a devout child of God and you stay away. You see sin way over there and you say, I'm not going near it. And then in verse 2 it talks about, well, you're getting comfortable so you stand around to see what sin really is. And then in verse 3 it talks about you've really got comfortable and you sit down in the midst of it. Solomon says, listen, don't let the words of my warning, the words of my mouth, depart from you. Remove your way far from her. If a woman comes to you, fellas, and she says, you know how cute you are? You better run. You better be like Joseph and run plumb out of your coat getting away from her. You better run. Do not go near the door of her house, Solomon says. His first reason is found in verse 9 there, the first part. Or you will give your vigor to others, your wealth. If you go lie with this adulterous woman, the first thing you better do is open up your pocketbook because it's going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you a lawyer. It's going to cost you child support. It's going to cost you alimony. May cost you another house. May cost you another car. His second reason is found in verse 10. And strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. You'll lose everything you have, and someone else will take what you have. Alimony and child support are going to eat away at your finances. You really want to take care of your kids that you leave behind, don't you? Well, that's what alimony is. I mean, that's what child support is. Alimony is you're still paying to keep her up. But you know, it doesn't only cost you your wealth, it costs you your physical health as well. The second part of verse 9 there, he said, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. It's going to cost you your health. And he adds in verse 11, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Imagine, physically, mentally, your health trying to keep up the seductress, the immoral woman, an ex-wife, two houses, two car payments, your children. And maybe she's got children and you're splitting the time between the two. You know, when my kids were younger, they liked to wore me and Marilyn out. I couldn't imagine trying to keep up with mine, his, and hers in a mixed relationship. I just couldn't imagine it. But not only that, when he talks about your flesh being consumed, your body consumed, think about, you really don't know this woman. She may be somebody that works across an assembly line from you. And I've seen those women. Believe it or not, I used to work on an assembly line. And I've seen those women. I used to have one that had an affair with a tow motor driver. And I had this woman years ago when I worked for Cook's Pest Control. She was ugly as mud. And when I'm outside working around her house, here she comes out in her bathing suit to get her in her swimming pool. She said, you want to join me? I said, I'm going to the truck. I want nothing to do with it. But you know, sometimes it don't matter how pretty or ugly she is. If a man is in a moment of weakness, he's unhappy at home or whatever. But then you got to think about the diseases that she might have that you don't know about. You know, they talk about getting her pregnant. And they say, well, I only had sex the one time. Well, that's all it takes is to catch a disease, too. There are bacterial diseases. There are viral diseases. And some of them are not curable. And you'll have them the rest of your life. You watch these TV commercials now that come on and you can't miss them for HIV and stuff like this. And they're incurable. So they're taking this medicine all of their life, the rest of their life. Sexually transmitted diseases can destroy your body. Another thing that it costs you is not only your wealth, your physical health, but it costs you your mental health as well. You're going to be filled with self-recrimination. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 5, verses 12 and 13, "How I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. Have I not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined? I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my heart to those who instructed me." You're going to go through life, and there's going to be people that give you advice, instruction, and you'll not forget them, especially in moments when you give in to that adultery. There are going to be times when you're going to remember, my mama used to tell me to avoid that person. That's what Solomon's doing right now. He's remembering what his father warned him about. And there's going to be times, you know, it's like Albert and Florence and I talking, I think, Wednesday night. A few years back, my mama used to call me in the middle of working. And I'd say, Mom, I don't have time to talk right now. Well, I just thought you'd like to hear that such and such happened or so and so did this. I'll talk to you when I get off work. You know how much I'd give to talk to her now that she's no longer with us? You don't forget the things that your parents have told you. You don't forget the things that your teacher told you. Oh, yes, you will. But you're going to remember some of the stuff your teacher's told you. You're going to remember the teachers anyway. I think I remember most of mine. You're going to remember things that the preacher has said in moments when you're going through the temptation, the trials. And you're going to remember the things that your best friend has told you about. You need to steer clear of that individual, especially when you're thinking about getting involved with that individual. And then you're going to recall how violent a divorce really is on your spouse, on your children, and they're likely going to suffer the worst from it. You know, I've seen kids, when mine were in the band, there was one kid in particular that really suffered because his parents were divorced. And I've seen kids go to football games, and you as a parent, as a band booster parent, have to go get the police because the parents are fighting over who's going to take the child home. And yet, for that moment of pleasure, it's all worth it to destroy your kids, ain't it? God says in Malachi 2 and verse 16, "I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wives." And men and women, I'd say, do not be unfaithful to your husbands. You can eat away at your peace of mind by giving in to this adulterous woman. But also, it can cost you your reputation. I know of preachers that have been entangled with the seductress. I know of one that traveled all over the South, all over the Mid-South, and excellent preacher. And he had a woman that every time a church would hire him to go work there, she would travel and follow him. He went to hold a meeting in Lewisburg several years ago. And one of the elders says, "You're staying at my house." He said, "No, sir. I'm staying in a hotel." Now they know why. Because he had this adulterous woman traveling all over the country with him. A good friend of mine was working in a church in Alabama. Told the elders he was going to another place in Tennessee to hold a gospel meeting. Some members of the church went to Florida, and his conscience bothered him, and he went to church while he was in Florida instead of holding this gospel meeting down there with his girlfriend. Left his wife and child at home. Then he had some explaining to do. I know people that have done this. If you think about these preachers, think about an elder, think about any member of the Lord's church, your friends, bankers, whatever the case may be, and think about their reputation as good, honorable, upstanding men in the community or women. They go to have an affair, and then think about their reputation. It's like the man that shot Lincoln, his name, the doctor. His name is Mud. Solomon says in verse 14, I was on the verge of total ruin. In the midst of the assembly and congregation, this affair, this adultery will destroy your reputation. What will people think of you? Now I know you're saying, well, I don't care what people think. Yeah, you do. Because you want people to trust you. And if your wife doesn't trust you, why should I trust you in the affairs of men? And people don't take the sin of adultery lightly. The proverb writer says in chapter 6, beginning in verse 27, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? You can't get involved with this adulterous relationship and not have some effect on you. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So he is who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you may give many gifts. Can a person be trusted who would lie to their wife or to their husband? You need to understand that your unfaithfulness can eat away at your reputation. So what we've seen here is that adultery destroys your wealth, your body, your soul, your reputation. But forgiveness is possible. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You can be forgiven. But you know, the damage is already done. You're going to have to build back your wealth, your health, and your reputation. There's a lot of effects of adultery that continue throughout your life. So it's much better to talk about prevention of adultery. How do I keep myself from giving in to this adulterous woman or man? Love your spouse. Love your husband. Love your wife. The proverb writer tells us to rejoice. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. Be happy at home. Somebody said, well, you don't know my wife. Well, evidently you didn't either when you married her. You have got to find a way to be happy when you get married. You know, that's part of the reasoning behind the dating process. So that you can learn who this fella or this girl is going to be when you marry him. Husbands are to love their wives. Again, the Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 9, and I like this, it's the New Literal Translation. I like this, the way it reads in this verse. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Do you hear what Solomon said? All these meaningless... Marilyn and I had a meaningless day yesterday. We didn't do much of anything. We finished up getting all the trash out of the garage at the old house. Went to Murfreesboro. Had some lunch. Drove around. Bought some new tennis shoes. Went down to Nash's and had a sandwich and some ice cream and come home. A meaningless day. Didn't accomplish much. Meaningless day. And you know what? Those are some of the best days. Those are some of the best days. And I think Solomon's right. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days that God has given you under the sun. Some days are just meant to be nothing. Be happy in those days. Be happy. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5. Wives, learn to love your husbands, Titus chapter 2. Be enraptured, he said, with your wife. So why be enraptured with an adulteress or an adulterer or a seductress or a seducer? He says in chapter 5 and verse 20, according to the New American Standard, why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? Someone you don't know. Someone outside of your family. One's true character is revealed by their immorality. They know who you really are. If they commit adultery with you, then they're likely to commit adultery against you. If they did it to take you away from your spouse, guess what? They'll do it again. Enraptured love is commanded. Commanded by God. And you know what? That means it can be learned. You don't know what I'm going through at home. Then you better start learning how to love your mate. Prevention of adultery. Love your spouse. Love the Lord. The Lord is omniscient. And sins will have their effect. He says, the proverb writer does, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, God sees all. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, we've already noticed, says that God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Numbers 32 and verse 23, when one sins against the Lord, their sins will be exposed. How much better is it to love the Lord and be loyal to Him than the alternative? Matthew 22 and verse 37 says that God looks for those who are loyal to Him. Genesis 39, verses 7 through 10, we see there Joseph's devotion to God preventing him from being tempted by Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39 and verse 21, we see that because of that, God blessed Joseph because he was faithful to God. Those who love the Lord foremost love their spouses forever. Now finally, what we have seen is the promise of adultery is deceptive. It promises you pleasure, but it really promises death and condemnation. The price is terrible, which too many learn too late from sad experiences. And it can all be avoided if we just listen to the Word of God. And it can be prevented. It's possible when we love the Lord with all of our heart. And then we love our spouses with God's blessings. We need to heed Solomon regarding the danger of adultery. And when we do, we'll not be destroyed. We'll not destroy our lives. We'll not destroy the lives of our spouses. And we'll certainly not destroy the lives of our children.